Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
And those are the voices of the fellas as we head to a football Friday. We'll start with a little basketball, as you just heard this morning. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin presented by Progressive Insurance. Free agency begins tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern time, but if you want to use a clock designation, I think it's fair enough to say it struck midnight. The clock has struck midnight on the Warriors dynasty. No problem. 6 p.m. Eastern for free agency. I'll just get you caught up on what I said just in case you missed it. 6 p.m. Eastern for free agency. Clock striking midnight on the Warriors dynasty. Obviously, Durant has extricated himself. Klay's going to be out again for the season. Now it falls upon Steph Curry. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase, which leaves their starting lineup, you would imagine, at the moment. Wiggins, Oubre, the new kid, James Wiseman, Steph, and Draymond Green. And right out of the gate, when you look at that five, Jay, you essentially said the first thing when I mentioned those five names is, sure, Wiggins is a talented player. Sure, Steph needs some help. But in your mind, Wiggins may not be enough here.
Well, Kelly Oubre helps out a lot. He helps out a lot. I mean, he did average 19 points per game. You know, he was part of the whole Valley Boys, him and Devin Booker in Phoenix before he got utilized in a trade to OKC, obviously bringing him to where he is now with Golden State. What I was saying before, though, is that the dynamic is different, right? Kelly Oubre can do a lot, slashing, get into the rim, doing things off the dribble. Andrew Wiggins is not an elite three-point shooter. He can make three-point shots. He's a 3-and-D kind of guy. When he wants to lock in defensively, he's, you know, had a couple great years defensively and can score. He scored 24 points per game. I'm just saying the style in which you play has to drastically change. There was so much more continuity, right? Imagine, like, the way water moves. Like, that's how Golden State's offense worked, right? Everything was fluid when you talk about continuity. Now you have sometimes the ball stops a little bit. It's not the same with Wiggins and Kelly Oubre. And the amount of attention that Klay is able to attract off down screens, right? It keeps the defense on edge all the time because you're wondering about where Klay is, and that allows driving lanes for Steph Curry, Draymond Green, guys like that to work. Now the style has to change. I just don't think it's not as effective when you have the greatest shooting backcourt ever to play the game, not together. It forces Steph to have to do a lot more. I'm not saying he can't do it. I just don't see it being at the same clip of success that it was before that they had, well, just those guys together.
Well, clearly, Jay, it's not going to be at the same clip. I mean, whenever you lose somebody that's been an important part of what you do for a long period of time and you insert somebody else into the lineup, it's never going to be the same. I just don't think, though, when you look at it, yes, they go out and get Kelly Oubre. Yes, that he's there. Wiggins is there. You'll still be able to do some of the same things. They're not pure shooters. And you were explaining to me, because I was asking you why, on a little sidebar, Z, I was asking him, when Klay shoots the ball, how come it snaps the net? Where a lot of other people, when they shoot those jumpers, it kind of just floats through the net. And he was explaining it to me. So you can clearly see how pure he is with the ball in his hands, or coming off screens, or coming around to certain picks, catching and shooting, opposed to what Kelly could do, or opposed to what Wiggins could potentially do. Maybe Wiggins makes up for the defensive side that you'll be missing with Klay. And then collectively, offensively, those two can put those points on the board.
Now, I'll say this with Key. I'm trending with you here, because yesterday, before I heard the Kelly Oubre news, I was like, man, that's a team. There's 6, 7, 8. Like, they probably get into the playoffs because of that new playoff format where 9 and 10 will play 7 and 8. That's the way it's going to work out. 9 and 10 will have to win 2 games as opposed to 7 and 8 that will have to win 1 game in order for them to get the 7 or 8 seed in the postseason tournament. But now adding Kelly Oubre, that makes it different, man. Like, they got size. And those guys obviously need to play, but it does allow other playmakers to help Steph, which allows him to play off the ball.
Well, if Steph was by himself prior to the trade, then it's just like, what do? You fall into we can make the playoff type situation opposed to being a threat to somebody. Anything can happen. There's no question about it. Injuries can happen to other teams, whatever the case, bad nights, all of that. But even with Klay Thompson on board, I never really felt like that they were a major threat to come out of the West to the Clippers and the Lakers. The Lakers, obviously, they go out and get Schroeder. They're going to re-sign some guys. Hopefully Dwight comes back. So that's a little bit different because of their length and their size opposed to the shooting that Golden State has. But then when you look at the Clippers side of it, I'm sure the Clippers are going to address some needs that they have today when free agency starts. And so you look at those two teams, and then you kind of got the Denvers of the world, the Utahs, you know, Dame Lillard and Portland sitting around there. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for a Golden State. But I just never really felt, Jay, that Golden State was a threat to the Lakers or the Clippers coming out of the West. And I know we get caught up in the moment of the great history of what Golden State has been. But remember, Kevin Durant was a huge part of that, who was no longer there. And then prior to that, when they were young guns, I don't know, was it 6 years ago? They had a different makeup with Livingston and Iguodala and those guys. They're no longer there.
And the rest of the league. See, the way
the bench isn't the same. That's
exactly. And the way Golden State won that first one, teams weren't playing that fast. Teams weren't spreading the floor the way they spread the floor. Teams didn't have the three-point shooting that they had, right?
So they
the way
took they that shot. Recipe that Golden State had and stole it to a degree to try to put it on their teams and in their organization.
And the rest of the league has caught up to the way Golden State plays. Now everybody plays that way, spacing the floor, three-point shooting at volume, and things of that sort, right? So, yeah, I just think we don't talk about Golden State winning a world championship until Klay's back on the court, and then that depends upon what version of Klay Thompson comes back off two injuries where he will not have played basketball in 2.5 years. And what ACL is one thing, and Achilles is something so different.
Could I ask you a question? Because I really honestly don't know, and I'm not doing this just to do it. How long did it take you after your accident? What did it take, like 2.5 years to even just be able to?
Well, I had a lot more than just ACL and Achilles.
No, but I mean
yeah,
just injury in general.
I mean, it took me 2.5 years.
And you still didn't feel right.
I wonder how it'll be with an Achilles. Like, and I talked to Kevin about
this
a little bit.
But I guess I'm talking more about the layoff.
Obviously the layoff is tough. You miss it. I mean, you can bounce back from that over time. The question is, your body just never feels the same. And this is key. This is where you start thinking about this. Environment, where you play. You ask anybody. Like, you go through a couple of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Tom Brady. I'm trying to go somewhere warm, man. You know, CP3 at this stage of his career, people are like, all right, L.A., Phoenix, it's always warm. Think about what the humidity does to your body, right? Even if it's dry heat. Like, you much rather be around heat than being in locations where it's cold all the time, coming off injuries is Klay. I mean, he's going to be 31 by the time he comes back. I know it's not old, but, you know, in basketball, football, like, that ain't young.
Yeah, walking in from the parking lot over here outside to come to the studio, my face almost fell off. It's so damn cold outside.
Man. You know what it is, man.
I was walking. I'm like, you know, I'm trying to get in. I'm like, damn, I forgot my ID.
In basketball terms, 31, that makes you feel like you're like 65 years old, man. Like, you've been playing this game for a long period of time, especially for a guy that has ran the third most miles in the league since 2013-14. The third most. Like, that's how much he goes up and down the court.
Let me ask you this as a basketball expert. So it's different than a Vince Carter, different than a Grant Hill, different because Klay he's just a shooter. He's a defender. He's not a dunker, explosive type guy that's going to be going and snatching and grabbing and jumping up and down. Does that have will that effect be gone?
Well, I mean, first off, Klay got some stuff in his bag offensively, man. It's just not all off the jump shot. He can create off the dribble, too.
Yeah, but
it's
I'm
not
saying,
the same like Devin Booker sexiness, you know what I mean? It's
I'm more, saying that explosiveness where all of a sudden every time that he's jumping, he's coming down hard.
See, I worry more about the lateral movement, right, with an Achilles, stuff like that. I mean, I know jumping but he's so good defensively. If you don't have that same lateral movement, if Klay just becomes just a shooter, that'll be such a disservice to his game. Still be utilized because he's one of the best shooters we've ever seen. But still, the east to west movement that he has, that little shake, that shimmy, his explosion, you take that away, he just becomes a completely different player.
So it'll be like old man game.
Yeah, he'll still make money. He'll still do his thing. It just won't be at the same elite level. Because, man, I can go put him on you and be like, yo, go lock him up. Like, and getting nothing.
No,
and he don't give you 35, 40.
No, I understand.
Like, it's just different. Now you're like, hey, I need you to be a shooter. It's just a different
and
dynamic.
And then you got to get around stuff to be able to get the ball to shoot it. And that's still lateral movement that's in there.
Last couple things. Today would mark 520 days since Klay Thompson has played a basketball game. 520. And now you think you got another year to add on top of that. One other thing I just want to quickly mention. That's a long time. And we're just starting the process again for another year. One thing I want to mention that hasn't gotten a lot of attention, but I think is very, very notable because there's been so much talk about Oubre to the Warriors to help. And that is, look at what Oklahoma City has done. So they move Chris Paul to Phoenix. Mm-hmm. They get two huge contracts as part of the deal coming back. Mm-hmm. Ricky Rubio, flip him, send him back to Minnesota.
Yep.
Oubre, flip him, eventually ends up in Golden State. And Sam Presti sitting there with a treasure trove of first-round draft picks.
I think he has like 19 or 20, something around there right now.
Right.
19 or 20 first-round picks?
I'm telling you, he's going to have the whole 2024 first round of the damn draft, Key.
It's amazing, Key. They are stockpiling like you've never seen before, and they're flipping all the big contracts. Oubre will go to Golden State.
No,
that's another
it.
One they got rid of. It's a very underrated story people are not paying attention to, so just keep an eye on that. That's for future consideration. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. On the way, it's take your pick, including a Super Bowl matchup you may not be thinking about.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
If you're listening to us, good morning, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. If you're watching on ESPN News, Key couldn't help but react to Drew Brees just getting pancaked on Sunday, the injury that eventually put him out for what could be 3 to 4 weeks.
That hurts, man.
How much that boy weigh?
He's at least three.
Cantavius is a big dude.
Yeah, he's at least three. I'm sure he's three and some change, but it's not even how much he weighs. It's the force in how he lands on you. Because when he lands on you, what happened was he crushed Drew Brees' body. He folded it. He didn't put an elbow. He didn't put an elbow in his ribs. Like, he literally crushed him. It's like me right now, Zubin. If I took both of my hands and squeezed as hard as I could on your midsection, you would feel it. That's what that was.
I'd be dead.
And I'll be in jail. Yeah,
hits like that is why I did not play football, man.
I'm telling you,
it hurts. You keep talking about big quarterbacks, and now the more and more I see like mid-sized quarterbacks get hit, I'm like, Key got a point.
No question about it. So that's the big story. We're not going to have Brees this Sunday, and we'll see how many Sundays moving ahead. So it's time for Take Your Pick, starting with the game that many Saints fans were hoping Brees was going to be there for, but won't. Instead, it'll be, we think, Jameis Winston. Our NFL insider Diana Russini said, at least the Falcons, their opponent on Sunday, preparing for Winston to start with a little mixing in of Taysom Hill. So, fellas, take your pick. Matt Ryan, who frankly could be auditioning for another team, Arthur Blank, the Falcons owner, said no guarantee he'll return. And Jameis Winston, who could be auditioning himself for Sean Payton or maybe one of the other 31 teams.
This is an audition for both of these guys right here. And you mentioned Matt Ryan's audition, but it's an audition for Matt Ryan for the Atlanta Falcons, because Raheem Morse, if he's retained as a head coach, he certainly doesn't want to go into the season with the unknown. Matt Ryan is playing good football for Raheem Morse, but then when you flip it to Jameis Winston, you think about an audition for Jameis Winston. Yes, whatever it is, 1, 2, 3, 5 games, whatever the case may be. Sean Payton brought him in here to take over for Drew Brees. I know Sean Payton gave Taysom Hill a bunch of money. He won't say who the starting quarterback is going to be. He doesn't need to tell me. I know damn well he ain't resting on Taysom Hill as his quarterback of the future. It's Jameis Winston, as long as Jameis doesn't Jameis it.
That was such a great breakdown. Can you take your pick now?
Oh, I took Jameis.
You took Jameis.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm took Jameis. My bad.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jameis. No, that's you, all right, man. I love it. I just learned something. I'm going to go with Jameis, too. You know why? Just because I want to see the narrative continue to swell about when Sean Payton says, well, I don't put all of the turnovers that he had in Tampa Bay on Jameis Winston. And I want to see how Bruce Arians continues to handle all this if Jameis has success.
Indeed. Next up, two quarterbacks that have had very difficult seasons, but for completely different reasons. Cam Newton, Deshaun Watson, Pats, Texans.
It's easy for me, Cam Newton. I'm taking Cam in this situation. I think this team has a feeling that they're going to be in a playoff hunt. They win this game. They're 5-5. They take on an Arizona team a week from now. So I'm taking Cam.
He made his pick.
Yeah, he made and he made it with conviction.
I learned very quickly.
I'm going with Cam, too. Look, obviously, he's a dynamic quarterback that doesn't need to throw the ball a lot and still finds his way in the end zone. So I want to see Cam continue to win. Yeah. I want to see Deshaun win, but I like the direction the Patriots are going, winning their last two in a row.
Those Indeed. Antics by Cam, I don't like.
Too much celebrating. I don't like those suits.
Wins over the Jets and the Ravens. We'll talk about Baltimore here in just a minute. This is an eyebrow raiser. Rodgers and Rivers, Packers, Colts with Indy favored by 2 points. Our gambling expert, Joe Fortenbaugh, here at 8:10 a.m. Eastern. We'll ask him exactly why that is. What does Vegas know the rest of us don't? But take your pick before then. Rodgers, Rivers, Packers, Colts.
This is an oldie but goodie against each other. I'm taking Aaron Rodgers, though, in this situation. And it's simple. Rivers, Rodgers. Rivers, Rodgers. That's it.
Just listen to it.
Rivers, Rodgers. That's all I'm going to say. Who would you rather have?
That sounds like some kind of convenience store. what's the spread again on this one?
-2 for the Colts. -2. Colts favored by 2.
And the game's in Indy, right?
That's correct. Late afternoon, Sunday afternoon.
Davante Adams banged up. Lazar coming back.
You know what? I think Phillip Rivers needs to show me a little bit bigger body of work other than just one good game he had against the Titans. We were talking about benching him literally before that game. Continue to prove that. So I'll go with Aaron Rodgers.
So late Sunday afternoon, we'll see those two. Sunday night, we'll see Mahomes and Carr, with Mahomes looking for revenge and Carr
like
and
Rivers
company.
Rogers.
Yes, indeed. Rivers runs through it, but we're both taking Rodgers. Mahomes and Carr in the rematch on Sunday night in Vegas.
I'm going to take Carr. I'm going to roll with Carr. I think John Gruden is on to something in Oakland. In Vegas.
Vegas.
In Vegas, not Oakland. Yes, I do know that, so don't tweet Jay Will talking about I don't know what city they play in. And when you look at it, they went out there and ripped the hearts out of Kansas City in Kansas City, sprinkling pepper all over the field with the Carr to Ruggs connection, the Carr to Aguilar-Waller connection, Jacobs running the ball. This is going to be a great game, much like the game we saw last night between Seattle and Arizona.
I'm going with Mahomes here. I've already been a Chiefs fan. Love Kelce. Love the way these guys play. Love Tyreek Hill. Love all their weapons. I know that the Raiders got a hold of them the first time. This is a revenge game. Plus, the more I hear our producer, James Steele, talk about Kansas City, I mean, KC, I'm a big fan. I'm going with them.
Indeed. James is a huge Chiefs
fan. Shout out to James Steele.
Yes. And shout out to Gates Barbecue. Goff and Brady.
What?
Nothing.
That's messed up, man. You cold.
Goff and Brady. Now, this is the Super Bowl rematch we were talking about. It's not exactly New England and the Rams 10-3. It's the Rams and the Bucks with these two guys on ESPN's Monday Night Football.
Here's what I would say. I'm taking Jared Goff in this game. And the reason I'm taking Jared Goff is because I believe he needs to bounce back and show that he's the $100-plus million quarterback that they gave him the money to be. He struggled at times a little bit this year. I don't want to see a first half Buffalo. I don't want to see a Miami Dolphin game. You're going up against a defense in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that a lot of people were praising at the beginning of the year, but has come back to the party. The last three games for the Buccaneers defense, they've been getting torched and shredded. I don't care about what they did against Carolina because Carolina's offense is somewhat stagnant. So I'd like Goff in this situation. I just do.
I'm just so confused by Jared Goff, and we keep talking about this. I know obviously you get to the Super Bowl, they give you a huge paycheck, but he's just been so inconsistent. I don't know which one shows up. I mean, if I'm going back to the Dolphins game, I was like, that ain't the $100 million Jared Goff, but then he looks good against Seahawks in their secondary. So with this one, I will go with Tom Brady. I think whenever Bruce Arians says something crazy about Tom, he responds usually by winning 2 to 3 games in a row.
Just want you to know that defense of the Rams is not the defense of Chicago. He held up 4 fingers against Chicago. He may be holding up 8 against the Rams. Just so that you know.
Okay. That's all right.
We'll see what happens on ESPN's Monday Night Football. With an extra note, if you didn't hear this, I think this is as big as the game in some ways. The first all-black officiating crew in NFL history on Monday Night Football between the Bucks and the Rams. How about that? Really great move by the NFL.
I'm glad you mentioned that again because I totally...
I'm going to have much more on it Monday before the game. There's so many interesting things to get into with
that. Wow, that hasn't happened yet?
First all-black, yes.
Like it's never happened?
Never happened.
No, all-black.
I understand.
Not one.
I mean, it's been all white for. I thought it would. You know what I mean? I thought it already happened. Right. But
no.
Apparently not. Okay, I got it. Wow.
We had together enough.
What year are we in?
Man, we had together enough. We had together enough black officials so that we could put a crew together.
Yeah,
that's all.
I got you.
Indeed, the crew chief Jerome Boger has been one of the most respected NFL officials for a long time. So again, much more on that Monday. I think
crews.
It's a pretty cool accomplishment.
What's wrong with you? What?
Last one. Jeez. We still got to get to one more here. I mentioned the Ravens. Tannehill and Jackson, Tennessee and Baltimore in that big playoff rematch.
I know, man.
This game just
Here's what I would say. Take a Lamar Jackson. But I don't want to hear him make no damn excuses as to why they lose the game. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it's raining. I don't want to hear they know this play call. Yes, it rains in Baltimore. It rains in Foxborough. It rains everywhere. It rains in Tennessee. Everybody has to play in the same environment. I don't want to hear that. And yes, teams are going to, from time to time, call out or guess on what formation and what play may be coming. Answer the bell. Give the critics something to not talk about. I'm taking Lamar. Mm.
What's the Ravens' record?
They are a 6-3 football team. One of six teams in the AFC that is 6-3.
Crazy, crazy that amount of criticism for a team that's 6-3. But I get it. That's the world we live in. I'll go with Ryan Tannehill here. Just because I think the pound and run game of Derrick Henry, this team has a lot to prove. So does Baltimore. I understand that. And maybe Baltimore has more athletic ability as it relates to Lamar Jackson. But I think Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry combined, I think, find a way to get it done.
They need to catch the football in Tennessee, though.
Yeah.
They got
that would
case,
be helpful.
They got a case of the dropsies here lately. Yeah.
There's
probably
no
need to catch
about
the football to win football games, huh?
Fair enough.
If they throw it to you.
The flyweight champions go to war at UFC 255. Figueiredo, Valentina Shevchenko defending their belts. UFC 255 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $64.99. Visit ESPNPlus.com/PPV for more details. In 1 minute, digging into that strange NFL line. Packers and underdog at the Colts. But first, SportsCenter.
Empty backfield. Murray takes the snap. Looks. Gets hit. Goes down. Seahawks sack. Murray getting there was Dunlap. Came off the edge. Almost untouched. Huge play by the Seahawks defense. And the Hawks are going to win this game at Lumen Field.
That much maligned Seahawks defense. You heard it on 710 ESPN in Seattle. 28-21 for the Seahawks. Carlos Dunlap, who was acquired just 16 days ago via trade, had 2 sacks, including one of Kyler Murray in the final minute with the Cardinals driving. They're at the Seattle 27 with 38 ticks to go, and down goes Murray, and down goes Arizona. Seattle wins in a Thursday night thriller. Tough news on a Friday morning for Klay Thompson. MRI revealing the worst possible scenario. He is out again, this time for the entire season. A reminder, Klay hasn't played since Game 6 of the 2019 NBA Finals. Working out in Southern Cal a couple days ago, right Achilles tendon tear. He is finished for this upcoming season. He could be 2.5 years between games for Klay when he's finally back on the court. Free agency begins at 6 p.m. Eastern time tonight. Gordon Hayward has opted out of his deal with Boston. Remember in 2017, he signed a max deal with the Celtics, but never really maxed out. You may recall he had a gruesome leg injury 6 minutes into his first game. The Knicks and the Pacers are said to be interested in Hayward's services. We'll see where everyone else goes when it all commences tonight at 6 Eastern. And SportsCenter is presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs. For protection on the road and on the water, see how much you can save in as little as 3 minutes at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
Aaron Rodgers is on fire right now.
The 78-yard touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers.
Just chill. This dude, he got it under control. Just calm down.
I mean, Aaron told this once to RELAX, and Key obviously saying the very same thing. We're getting ready for a big one Sunday between the Packers and the Colts in Indy. Much of the country will get it, 4:25 p.m. Eastern time, so it'll be a lot of talk before we get to Sunday night and the big one Monday night. So, fellas, let's just discuss this. You asked me a few minutes ago what the Ravens record was, Jay. It was 6-3. There's a logjam in the AFC at 6-3. The Colts also sit there at 6-3 with the NFL's best defense, which is something you may not realize if you're just casually following the league. The Packers are 7-2. The Colts, the most important number to some people, the Colts are a 2-point favorite. Again, our gambling expert, Joe Fortenbaugh, here in less than 40 minutes, about 8:10 a.m. Eastern, to explain exactly why the Sharps in Vegas have the Colts as a favorite. Key, the Colts don't have the better record. The Colts don't have the better quarterback. And I'm not sure why they are the favorite in this game. What do you think?
I think the Colts have the better defense. And so I think that I'm assuming this is why Jay's friends in Vegas are picking the Colts to win this football game because of the defense, the harassment, the hassle of the defense. And then you got a banged up Devontae Adams. Not sure if he's going to go or not, but he certainly has missed time this week doing practice. And then Lazar is coming back, so you don't know what that's going to be. And I think that that's possibly what they can be looking at. It's a field goal, right? I mean, it's two-point conversion is what they're up by. It's what? Not – like they're saying they're going to win by 10.
Right. One thing, Jay, before you respond, I just want to say the line is always constantly moving as money continues to come in all around the world. The line has now been pushed down to 1.5, which essentially means many more people are betting on the Packers. So they've moved the line down to 1.5. Again, 1.5, 2 points.
So what does that mean? That means at some point it'll be even? Isn't that what y'all call it, Jay?
It's called like a pick'em game if it becomes
or whatever.
Even.
Right. The more money that comes down here on Green Bay, the lower the line is going to get.
So money that people bet on Green Bay, that number at 1.5 shrinks.
Correct. So at this particular point, people looked at it and said, wait a minute, Green Bay is the underdog in this game? I'm going to definitely bet on Green Bay. So as more people continue to do that, they're going to push the line down. Jay, your thoughts?
I know Key and I got into it a little bit yesterday in the conference call, and he had the valid point. At the end of the day, you're going to take Aaron Rodgers over Phillip Rivers.
We didn't get into it. We had a conversation.
Okay. Yeah, it was a copacetic conversation.
All right.
But one of the things is a point I keep going back to, Zubin, is that I know you can only beat the teams in front of you. I'm not taking anything away from the Packers because, obviously, when they're at full strength offensively, they start hitting. They beat the Saints, right, in week 3. But watching this team the last couple of weeks, like you beat up a bad 49ers team. You struggle against a Jags team that was 1-8. Mm-hmm. Like you lose to the Vikings. You beat the Texans. Like I just – you know, there aren't teams that have had the same defense as the Colts. So – like, I think this is a good litmus test to find out, like, who the Packers are. And I know they're playing without some of their players. Mm-hmm. But still, like, you continue to find out more about this team and whether they can compete at a high level against a great defensive team.
The reason our conversation that we had yesterday is the way we had it is because when you say they beat up on a bad San Francisco team, that's what they're supposed to do. I would be worried if they needed a 60-yard field goal at the end of regulation to win the game.
Okay.
But when you go up there and you smack them really good, that's what you're supposed to do. The Minnesota Vikings loss is a team within your division that see you twice a year and has seen you now for several years with this coaching staff. So they kind of have some familiarity. So when you start to look at it.
How about the Jags, though? I mean,
you're going to play down the competition sometimes.
Okay.
You just do in games. I mean, everybody does it. I don't care if it's the Tampa Bay Bucks playing down the Chicago Bears and Nick Foles and holding up four fingers. I don't care if it's the Rams getting worked by the 49ers. It's just, it happens.
That's why
I don't really pay much attention to who you play. As long as you win the games that are in front of you, that's all that really matters.
I'm just saying, though, with the Packers, you have to bet on them clicking it all at the right. I know it's for any team that wins the Super Bowl or any team that wins a world championship. You have to click at the right time. But you're saying offensively, they need to be at all high level in order for them to be that team, right?
No, Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers has to be at all high level.
Yeah, because clearly Aaron Rodgers is out there playing with me's and you's right now at the age that we are at times when Davante Adams is not in the lineup or Lazar is hurt and banged up. I can't even – what's 83?
MVS.
MVS. MVS. MVS has struggled.
TJU.
Yeah, all these names. Yeah, shorten them up. MVS has struggled at times throughout the year when those guys haven't been on the field. So the pressure is on Aaron Rodgers to carry the team into such time that the defense continues to get better.
Two things here. One, the Jags have actually lost 8 in a row, but as you guys know, the Jags can actually do one thing really well. They can run the football.
Yep.
And if you can run the football, you're going to stay in some games, which is why Green Bay probably had a more difficult time getting rid of them. But to Key's point, sometimes you just play down to the level of your competition knowing.
The Jaguars.
On the other side, Aaron Rodgers has said this, and this is something that hasn't been mentioned so far this year because there's been so much attention on Mahomes and Lamar and Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray. And that is, Aaron has said clearly, this is Aaron Rodgers. This is not the media, because Aaron can get a little ornery with the media, but that's okay. He's not in the media, so it's not a big deal. But he does get a little ornery with people in the press. But this is Aaron's
own
words.
Not in the press either.
These are Aaron's own words. If I don't win a second chip, I've left something out there. Yeah. Obviously, he's got the one Super Bowl, and one championship in any sport can define you guys. I mean, you're a Super Bowl champion. You're a national champion. They can never take that away from you. But he openly has said, I got to get a second one. And if I don't get a second one, it's not complete.
Well, that's the way he feels, right? Because
but that matters, right? I mean,
well, if that's the way he feels, though. He feels that way. I don't feel that way about him. Mm-hmm. I'm satisfied with his one. But he needs to satisfy his own self by getting a second chip, right? He wants to be put up there with those guys that have 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. I don't know if you just have one that you can get into the same conversation with those guys. You know, it's like... Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl. Okay, that's great. He has all these yards. Okay, that's great. How many championships you won? Oh, I got 4, Joe. What do you got, Tom? Oh, 7, you know. So it's that conversation that he wants to be a part of. What about you, Ben? Oh, I have 3 here now. You know, so that's the conversation that he wants to be in. And I don't blame him for that, because he deserves it. Whenever you've played as long as he's played and done some of the things that he's done in his career in the National Football League, you want to walk away with as much hardware as possible.
Can you imagine if he said, I got a championship. I'm good. I'm good, guys. I mean, this is who – I love Aaron Rodgers. I really do. It's the same guy this offseason, Key, where the team drafts a quarterback and everybody starts to make all this speculation about what's going to happen.
It's because they don't know nothing.
And – Aaron is just going at him in practice, like just setting the tone, like this is who this dude is. He constantly has a chip on his shoulder, and I love it.
Well, when they drafted Jordan Love, everybody, like much to you said, they're getting rid of Aaron Rodgers. And I said, Aaron Rodgers will be signing an extension in less than 24 months. Y'all need to sit tight. Because, yes, they drafted him, but he's not replacing him.
Right.
It's just – you know, well, they should have took a receiver. No, they're fine. Just let it develop. We live in a microwave society. Instant. Everybody wants it now.
Right.
Let it develop. Let it take shape. Let's see what it is. And then let's form our opinions. Let's not just turn on the switch. Boom, there it goes. Aaron Rodgers needs receivers. They don't have a defense. They don't have this. They're not a good team. What's their record?
Right.
7-2? They're 7-2. Last I checked, that was pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
And so you look at it, what is there to complain about? Go out there, take care of business against the Indianapolis Colts, one game in the back pocket, and move forward to the next.
Indeed, we should say, will Aaron get into the zone this weekend versus the Colts? Get in the zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. And as Rodgers once said, I don't care who they draft. Ain't nobody beating me out. That's the confidence that you absolutely positively need. On the way, one of the most head-scratching decisions in all of college sports this year. What in the world is going on with Key's Conference, the Pac-12? Our college football insider here with the answer.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Pac-12, to me, has always been one of the most fun conferences to watch. Such a diversity of styles.
Yes, there is. They were the final of the Power Five leagues to start. And now they've got some very interesting news that they are making. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, including Heather Dinich, ESPN College Football Playoff senior writer on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Heather, good morning. The Pac-12 was the last one to start. Then they have that truncated schedule, and everybody else is not playing non-conference opponents, yet apparently they are now going to be dipping back into the non-conference slate if they meet a certain criteria. Why are they doing this, and what's the criteria?
Well, the criteria is that they have to meet the Pac-12's testing protocols. So they have to test at least three times a week and meet all of those standards. And that's why these other Power Five conferences are not doing that, because you don't necessarily know what an opponent might be doing in terms of COVID-19 protocols and testing. So they're doing this so that their teams can get as many games in and as many opportunities as possible. And the minute that this announcement came out, I sent an email to BYU saying, hey, would you guys schedule a Pac-12 team? Because I talked to Kalani Sitake last week, and he said they're trying to add a game to their schedule. And so in my head, I'm thinking, can BYU play Oregon? Would Oregon want to play BYU? Let's get this going. Let's get some fun football here. And BYU could certainly add it and need it to their schedule, because they've got a long layoff between this Saturday's game and their following game. So they've got an open date. They're trying to find an opponent. And if they could get somebody from the Pac-12 and beef up that schedule, who knows how high they might rise in the eyes of the selection committee.
Heather, who benefits most from the Pac-12 allowing these non-conference games?
You know, I think it would be either USC or Oregon, because right now, when you look at those two teams, they've won, they've looked good, they haven't looked great. They need an opportunity down the stretch here to really show the selection committee that they can be a top four team. And while I do think that an undefeated Pac-12 conference champion would certainly be in the mix for one of those top four spots, there's also going to be a lot of weight this year, guys, on that eye test, because there aren't those non-conference opportunities. There's not an Oregon, Ohio State to help measure between the conferences. So I would think that it would be one of their contenders would benefit most from it.
BYU and both Cincinnati are building, trying to better yet build cases to get it be a part of that Final Four that you mentioned. What do they need to do to be pushed in there?
Well, all of the stars have to align, and I think Cincinnati at UCF is by far the biggest test of the Bearcat season. And if they can finish undefeated and win as a conference champion, I think that their total strength of schedule down the stretch would be better than BYU's if BYU's stays status quo. That being said, Cincinnati needs an undefeated conference champion season. It also needs chaos ahead of it. The worst possible thing for Cincinnati would be for Notre Dame and Clemson to be in the mix, and for Florida and Alabama to be in the mix. They need some teams above them to fall off.
Heather, this week we have Bedlam between Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Which team benefits more from a win here?
Well, I think Oklahoma State has to continue winning for the Big 12 to continue to stay at least on the edge, on the perimeter of this college football playoff conversation, because I refuse to write off any one-loss Power 5 conference champion. And the winner of that game is going to take the lead in terms of playing in the Big 12 championship game. And you don't want a two-loss Big 12 champ right now. So I think the benefit for the league would be to have Oklahoma State win this game. But look, I would pick Oklahoma because that's the smart move. But I think we're going to see a great offensive matchup from the Sooners against Oklahoma State's defense, which has been the best in the Big 12.
No doubt. That'll be Saturday Night Football on ABC with that great rivalry renewed. Obviously, a two-loss team has never made the playoff. Heather just mentioned that's where the Sooners sit at this particular point. But with the playoff in general, the committee is essentially being super hesitant to push anything back, even though we know any day we wake up, anything could be different in this world. Why are they so staunch in that, digging in their heels to say, this is it, and this is the way it's going to be, unless it has to be different?
Well, two main reasons, and one is because even if you push the semifinal back a week from its current date of January 1st, you are into NFL playoffs. Now, that being said, can you play it on a play the semifinals on a day that's not a traditional college football Saturday? Yes, probably. It would be strange. But there's also the contracts between particularly the Rose Bowl and, of course, the Sugar Bowl, and how would that all work out? And then as you back up the semifinals, guys, the next open Saturday is between the NFL playoffs and the Super Bowl. That's January 30th. So this whole discussion about pushing the playoff back starts with the semifinal. That's why they're saying if a team cannot play in a semifinal because of a COVID-19 issue, they're not going to select a replacement team, but they also don't have an answer beyond that. And it's because of that calendar issue that I just laid out for you.
Indeed. Heather will kind of keep track on what happens. CFP Executive Director Bill Hancock has come out and said, listen, it is what it is. And Heather just reeled off the reasons for why it is what it is. Enjoy your college football Saturday. We'll see you next week.
Thanks a lot, Heather.
Thanks, guys.
So, Key, I just heard you say while I asked Heather that question about Oklahoma possibly getting into the playoff, it kind of feels like every Big Ten team is pretty much out of it at this particular point.
Not interested.
You just said not interested.
I'm not interested. I don't want to see Oklahoma in the Final Four. Why would I want to see that? I know what's going to happen if they're there. They're wasting a spot.
Jay, they've never won a game in the college football playoff. They're right up there with like Alabama and Clemson. They're in it almost every year, but they have yet to win a single game.
And they won't win one.
Their defense, right?
They're just stop, man.
I mean, they're two different things. Whether you want to see them in there or not, or whether they deserve to be in there, are two different discussion points, right?
No, there is two different discussion points. There's a reason they have two losses, because they're not good. So why try to force it down my throat and make me want to watch it?
It doesn't look like it's going to happen, so I don't think you'll have to worry about it.
They'll beat Oklahoma State. I think Mike Gundy's record is like crazy bad against Oklahoma in the head-to-head.
Indeed.
I think he's won like two games the whole time he's been here.
Not a ton of success. Gundy, of course, Oklahoma State's head coach. He used to be the quarterback.
Man.
He had a guy named Barry Sanders back there in his backfield, and they had some trouble back then knocking off the Sooners.
Hartley, Dykes, Barry Sanders, all those guys.
Dykes, great wide receiver. Barry Sanders, obviously one of the great running backs of
Thurman
all time.
Thurman Thomas.
Thurman Thomas there in Stillwater. We'll see if they can turn the tide this weekend. It's an absolutely huge, huge game for them. And by the way, after a very tough start, Spencer Rattler, their quarterback, has started to play some really good
football. I love that name. Football. Great name for a quarterback.
Great
right?
name for a QB. On the way, Murray out of the MVP mix, but is Russ right back in it?
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.